from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspic. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Coming up on today's show, I want to talk a little bit about yesterday's spring game between the Giants and the White Sox and some of the key takeaways there. But I also want to take this opportunity to get to some of the questions that we weren't able to get to on last week's Giants mailbag. So there were several questions, some of which kind of relate to topics that we've been discussing or wanting to discuss and kind of just mentioning them as opposed to going into sufficient detail. So I want to expand upon some of those points by answering these questions. But first, talking about the game yesterday, there were definitely some interesting developments. I liked the way the top of the lineup looked with Mike Yastrzemski, Wilmer Flores, and Alex Dickerson all in there and all contributing. Yastrzemski had two hits, Wilmer Flores lined a hit and scored a run, and Alex Dickerson had a two-run double. So, you know, Yastrzemski, Flores, Dickerson is not a bad sequence of hitters, and the Giants could have those three pretty consistently in their major league lineup. So I like the look of those three hitting consecutively. And then, you know, another key point was that Kevin Gausman made his Giants debut through two hitless scoreless innings with one walk and one strikeout. The strikeout was on a nasty split-fingered fastball against Yoan Moncada, one of the White Sox better hitters. So it's hard to read too much into a spring game and specifically two innings in a spring game, but you like to see the strikeouts, you like to see the command, and that's what Gausman was featuring. We also had Tyler Rogers kind of overpowering the White Sox and making at least one hitter look foolish striking out for his one strikeout in one hitless scoreless inning. But perhaps most notably, the Giants were able to incorporate Elliot Ramos and Hunter Bishop into this game. They went a combined 0 for 4, but, you know, just because they weren't formally invited to Major League Camp, it does not mean that they weren't going to get some plate appearances coming over from the minor league side. So even this early in camp, we are seeing them get some at-bats in the Major League Camp, and that kind of segues us into a question from the mailbag that I wanted to address. So the question came from Jack, who said, "What are your expectations for Elliot Ramos? Do you think that he'll make his way over to the Cactus League from minor league camp? Where do you think he'll start the season? At what level? And do you see a way, especially with our platoon outfield plan this season, for him to make his way to the bigs this season as long as he's healthy? Or are we still a year out on him?" So obviously he got into the game yesterday, but I would have answered the same way if I had got to this question on Friday, that just because the players aren't in big league camp doesn't mean they're not going to come over. It has more to do with making sure that they get sufficient at-bats to be able to play in the minor league season and get prepared for it. So there's always a little bit too much emphasis on who gets invited and who doesn't to major league camp, because you can't just have Elliot Ramos pinch hitting and being a late game substitution all spring long in major league camp. He's got to get ready to start the season in the minors, because there's basically a 0% chance he starts the season in the majors. So it makes all the sense in the world that he is in the minor league camp. I know Joey Bart is in major league camp, but with catchers, it's a little different because they're always going to want to give Posey that rest and probably not really overextend him at all. So there's a need for more catchers, and you also want to get Bart familiar with some of the major league pitchers who eventually he's going to have to catch, and you don't want him to be coming into that totally blind, not having caught them a lot previously. And also the simple fact of just having him around to get to know the pitchers as well is important. But anyway, Elliot Ramos and Joey Bart ended the year in Double A, and both played in the Arizona Fall League. So for Ramos, The question is, does he start in AA or does he start in AAA? I think it'll be one of those two. I mean, AA to me seems the most likely. And with strong performance, he could easily get promoted to AAA, or he could start the year in AAA, and then he'd be right there knocking down the door at age 20. So in 25 games in AA, Ramos did have success. He only hit .242, but had a nice .321 on base. I mean, it's not that nice, but it's a nice jump up from the lower batting average, meaning he was disciplined. He struck out 31% of the time in AA, a significant jump from his time in single A. So, you know, he's going to have to figure that out. So for that reason, I may expect them to put him back in AA to see if he can, you know, stop striking out as much, at which time he could earn a promotion to AAA. And yes, I think it's 100% possible that he could debut in the major leagues in 2020. I think Bart is a little more polished and definitely more likely to come up sooner. He is significantly older. But Elliot Ramos gets forgotten a little bit in this conversation. And I think, you know, some prospect ranking outlets have him very high. I mean, Baseball Prospectus has Ramos as the 34th best prospect in baseball. Keith Law's top 100 prospect list came out yesterday, and he ranked Ramos at 52nd. Several of the other platforms have Ramos in the 50 or 60 range. And just to give a little sneak preview of what Keith Law said about Ramos, he said, if he keeps refining his approach, he'll unlock more power as he gets older, and he might be a classic number four hitter with 30-plus homer power, some patience, and too many strikeouts to bat second. So, you know, especially if they just want to introduce him in a platoon in 2020, that could definitely play given their need and kind of their lack of established players in the outfield. They have some, and there's definitely some intrigue and upside with Dickerson, Yastrzemski, and Jalen Davis. I like what Billy Hamilton can offer if you kind of limit his exposure at the plate. I like Hunter Pence in a platoon, but still, you could definitely continue to infuse some talent there, and we could see Ramos in 2020. Coming up in the second half of the show, I do just want to continue to answer some of the questions we didn't have a chance to get to on Friday. So that's all coming up next. But first, this spring, follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. Amazing weather and landscapes, exciting outdoor adventure, incredible food. Arizona is the perfect home base for baseball fans. 10 stadiums, 15 MLB teams, 75 degree temperatures. All 10 stadiums are in Greater Phoenix within 50 miles. Enjoy live music from local and national artists. Explore museums. Hit the road and explore Arizona's urban centers, ghost towns, artsy communities, and quirky outposts. Hiking, biking, jeep tours, hot air balloons, skydiving, or just taking a sunset. No matter what you love to do, Arizona has you covered. Check off must-see destinations from your bucket list like the Grand Canyon, Monument Valley, Horseshoe Bend, and Tucson. Arizona has tons of stuff for kids to do and see like wildlife parks, science museums, aquariums, and dude ranches. Plan your spring training getaway at visitarizona.com/springtraining. All right, as promised here in the second half of the show, I just want to continue to run through some of these questions we weren't able to get to last Friday. David asks, in maximizing production via detailed analytics, do any teams consider the expected atmospheric conditions during games, not just wind and rain, but also air density, when setting lineups or making in-game managerial decisions? This could be a significant factor at Oracle. And I'm glad you asked this question, because the answer, I believe, is yes. And the reason I say this is because Scott Harris, the new Giants general manager, basically said that this was true shortly after he was hired by the Giants. He had this to say when talking on KNBR the day that he was introduced at Oracle Park. Quote, one of the things I was really excited about this opportunity is the opportunity to work in a traditionally extreme ballpark. This ballpark has, over the years, played as a pretty extreme pitcher's park. I will say in Chicago, one of our challenges was that Wrigley was extreme, but it was extreme in an unpredictable way. You couldn't tailor a team to that ballpark as intentionally as you can here, because it would play extremely different depending on the wind. So some days we'd have to prioritize small ball pitching and defense, and some days we would have to prioritize power and lifting the ball in the air and taking advantage of the elements at Wrigley Field. I think this park plays more consistently and more predictably, and I think there's a real potential to create a competitive advantage. 81 times a year, where your team is better tailored to this ballpark than your opponent in the other dugout, and that presents a great opportunity here, and I know Farhan shares that vision, and so we need to construct a team accordingly to give us the best chance of having a true home field advantage. End quote. So I apologize for the long quote there, but I thought it's extremely interesting to hear him say that. So that's not specifically saying they're going to factor in, what did you say, atmospheric conditions, not just wind and rain, but also air density. So he doesn't like specifically say that, but the fact that they're thinking about that and he's saying that and talking in those terms, and that when he was with the Cubs, they were tailoring basically the lineup that day based on the wind. So they're very much taking that into account, tells me the Giants are going to do whatever they can based on the atmospheric conditions to try to put out the best team on a given night. And more specifically, they think, at least Scott Harris is saying here, that he thinks the park plays more consistently a certain way and that they can build their team around those conditions. So perhaps it's no accident that Billy Hamilton is now on the Giants because, I mean, this is an obvious thing, but the Giant outfield and center field and right center field specifically, maybe Billy Hamilton can have more of an impact on the Giants than he would have on a different team like the Reds, his original team. So that's just about the ballpark. I mean, the air density, the fog, and the cold definitely suppresses, you know, batted ball distances, and so that just plays into the pitcher friendliness. So we shall see, but it's good to know that they are definitely considering those factors now within this front office. Humbus's second best buddy says, do you have any confidence in Kai Correa managing in a game in which Kapler is ejected early on? Wotus, who has the most managing experience on the staff, won't be available when the Giants are batting. So I thought this was an interesting one because it's true. I mean, the decision to hire Kai Correa as bench coach was a little bit surprising because traditionally that role has gone to someone who has some managing experience, at least at some level. And Kai Correa doesn't have that, and he's more well known as kind of a defensive infield defense drills guru and someone who's really good at that. And that's, he's also doing that with the Giants, but in addition to that, he is also the bench coach. And so part of me wants to say, no, I don't necessarily have a ton of confidence that he would be able to avoid any mistakes, but I also think managing in baseball is actually not that hard. And the hard part is like dealing with the media, dealing with the personalities, managing people. But in terms of like in-game decisions, I just don't really think it actually is as big of a deal as people paint it out to be. It's certainly not nearly as challenging as basketball or football or anything like that. You have your lineup, you know, you sometimes have to make decisions like pinch hitting decisions and bullpen decisions, but I just think those are like non-critical, and the difference between one pinch hitter versus the next is not necessarily that huge, and it's sometimes pretty obvious who you should go to in certain situations. And we're talking about like how many times is Gabe Kapler going to be ejected early in a game? Like not very often. And a lot of the decisions that need to be made happen when you're on the pitching side. So Wotus would be in the dugout, for example, for those moves. And it would be a collaboration. But at the end of the day, it is something that I would have a watchful eye on. If and when Gabe Kapler gets ejected, we're going to see the very first managerial experience for Kai Correa. And all of that said, I have full faith and confidence that Correa is extremely knowledgeable about the game of baseball and how to manage. Like I really feel like if you understand baseball really well, you could essentially do that job for a short amount of time. I think the one thing might be that the game probably speeds up a little bit when you're the one having to make those decisions, but Kai Correa obviously understands the game and is a smart guy. So I think it probably is not really going to be an issue at all. All right. Unfortunately, that is all the time we have for today. Remember to get this show every weekday. You need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. Once again, my name is Ben Caspick. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Caspick. If you like this show, please consider rating it, leaving a review, and telling your friends and family to check us out. I cannot wait to be with you again tomorrow, and until then, we'll see you next time.